What up, y'all? This is DJ Quest One with the Drive Podcast. Thank you for listening to the last episode. Drug is Griselda Blanco, the queen, a drug kingpin or queenpin. It still doesn't sit well with me with her son not being involved in the show. There's a scene on there that she has her several scenes that they show her in the show of her doing this thing with her cigarette. So was that like what Michael told the producers that worked on that show? Shame on you, Sofia Vergara, for not even reaching out to him, to having him even be a consultant. Like, that's disrespectful to the fullest. Come on, man. They take the book from him, and they turn around and do the show. So I hope he does get his settlement. Because just imagine if your mom and dad, whoever your relatives that you knew very well, they sit down with you, they get all the information, and then they go behind your back and do a show, and you're just like, what the heck? What's going on here? You know? So hope he gets his settlement, and he'll be all right. This episode, I want to talk about Super Bowl 58, right? Super Bowl 58 with the Kansas City Chiefs versus San Francisco 49ers. Now, I saw the game with the Ravens and the Chiefs. I have to say, I'm kind of getting annoyed with Mahomes. Mahomes complains way too much. He gets hit. He jumps up and down like a little kid and points. There's interference. He jumps up and down and points at the player, and then the refs give him the call. Like, when was that cool to do? You know, the quarterbacks that I grew up with back in the day, you know, you had Joe Montana, you had Troy Aikman, you had Randall Cunningham, you had Steve Young, you had, who else? Brett Favre. Like, you didn't see them jumping up and down, pointing at players and getting a call. Like, has NFL gone that soft? I understand roughing the passer, which is Brady, which I don't care for Brady. Yeah, he's one of the best, but he was also a big time complainer. Complain constantly, yelling at the refs, looking at them, looking for the call. Like, since when was that cool to do? Like, just shut up and play. You didn't see Jalen Hurts doing that when he got hurt. You didn't see that Jalen Hurts when he was playing, when he plays. You don't see him jumping up and down like a little kid. Oh, look, there's an interference. Like, dude, just shut up and play the game. I was going for the Ravens. I don't care for the Chiefs. I don't care for Mahomes, to tell you the truth. He's a pain. He's a big-time complainer. Just shut up and play the freaking game. I don't care if you got hit. That's the part of the game. You're playing football. Hello, this isn't touch. If you want to play touch football, go to a league that's played touch football or flag football so you won't get hit. Ooh, sorry if I'm ranting. It's just annoying. And so you had the Niners and the Green Bay Packers and not the Green Bay Packers, the Lions. And the Lions were in the game. But also I heard that it's scripted. So every time the logo is made, they have the colors of the teams. So in this case, you have red on top, and then you have purple on the bottom. So it was supposed to be the Ravens and the 49ers, right? And whoever's in the bottom wins the Super Bowl. So now there's purple on the bottom. There's no Ravens. So who knows if it was really scripted. But I've been hearing about that for the last 5 years, that it's scripted. It could be. I mean, we don't know. We're not in the NFL. And that's why I stopped being like, yeah, I'm an Eagles fan. But when they lost, I was like, whatever. You know, they were hurt. I'm not going to sit there and sleep and lose sleep over it. Because at the end of the day, they're making millions of dollars. So when I see fans fighting each other on the stands, it's stupid. It's dumb. Like, why are you going to be fighting? Like, yesterday, I went to the Spurs game with my daughter. And there was a guy in the back that was, they played against the Magic. There was a guy in the back that was just talking smack, like, oh yeah, good shot, whatever. And I'm just like, telling him, like, you know, and he wasn't being disrespectful. He was just like talking to whoever he's with, older man, didn't have no Magic gear on. I have my Spurs jersey, my hat, you know, I'm representing. My daughter has her hat on. She has her Spurs shirt. And I was like, telling him, I'm turning around and saying, how many rings do y'all have? But I was like, you know what? That's petty. Let him enjoy that. But I did say out loud, I say, in 2 years, this team's going to be better than the Magic. He didn't say anything. You know what I mean? But the calls were horrible yesterday at the game. I'm talking about, like, Man, you're talking about bad calls. Like there was a there was it was like 96 to 99 or something. Like they were only down by three, and the guy number one for the Magic dunks it, but then he pushes off, and I'm like, that's offensive. They didn't call it. They called foul on the Spurs. Went to the free throw line, made five, went back, called offensive foul on the Spurs. It's just so many bad calls. It's ridiculous, and that's why I was like, you know what? I'm not gonna be getting mad. I get into it. When I'm at the game, I get into it. When I'm sitting at home, I used to get really into it. But at the end of the day, people, they're making millions of dollars and you're not. You're just a spectator. You're just a fan. That's why I feel like fans should get some special type of tickets that aren't crazy high. I always wanted to sit down there front row, watching the Spurs play. And I looked at the tickets and it's insane. $1,500 for one ticket, up to 2,000. And it's like, do I really want to spend $1,500 on one ticket to go down there? Like, it's just ridiculous. Everything's expensive. You buy a beer, it's $11. You buy a mixed drink, it's like $13. It's like, you got a tip. Like, everything is expensive now. So I went yesterday thinking I was going to get good parking. Parking was only $20, surprisingly. San Antonio is fairly cheap compared to Houston. Houston, if you go to Toyota Center and you go see the Rockets, you're spending 40 to $50 on parking. It's just a whole different. But I didn't mind spending $40 on parking in Houston because I was right there. Like I just walk across, the stadium's right there. But with this freaking parking lot at the AT&T Center, aka Frostbank, whatever, I paid $20 to get in. And I'm thinking, because when you're going down on one of the streets, there's different parking lots, and when I went in there, it took me all the way around, and I was parked so far. I was like, "This is ridiculous." I don't mind walking, but I would have paid the $40 just so I wouldn't have to walk all the way over there. But whatever. Anyways, it was fun. I had fun, and I'll go see them again. And I think Wemby is a phenomenal player. I haven't been talking Spurs, but Wembanyama, he is going to be one of the best, and he's only 19, so that's why I'm excited about him. But anyways, going back to the Super Bowl, could it be scripted? Yes. And it's not that serious again. Like, I'm going back to the fans. Like, you're fighting for a team that's making millions at the end of the day. A player is making millions of dollars. Do they care about you fighting? Are they really going to go in there? You see, the crazy part is there's that disconnect. Same thing with Congress and people. Like, you can't even talk to them. Like, back in the days, you can go and talk to them. Like in 1800s and everything's changed. They changed that narrative. Like you got to be government official, blah blah blah. Back in the days, you can go. We the people, y'all, is in the Constitution. We the people, you can go and talk to your congressman. You don't have to write to them. You can go actually talk to them. Go to the White House, whatever, wherever they were at, wherever their office is at. I don't know. You can't do that no more. You could probably do that to your fellow congressman in your state. You could probably set up an appointment, but you have to meet them at a meeting or whatever it is. And so the reason I'm pointing this out is because you have these NBA players, football players, all these people act like they're untouchable. And you're human, but you play a game that everyone sees you play. So they put them in this pedestal. Back in the days, the players, my friend was telling me that the NBA players would go to a bar, the Spurs players, and they would hang out with the people. Like that way you could talk to them, you could bullshit with them. You can't even do that no more, because it's like, oh, they're millionaires. You're a little person. That's why I never cared for Michael Jordan, even back then. Yes, he's one of the greatest basketball players. He's a prick. Tony Parker is a prick too. Scottie Pippen, they called him No Tippin' Pippen. Got family in Chicago. That's the thing. He didn't tip millions of dollars, and you act cheap, right? Or that kid that got arrested. He got kicked off of the Wizards. He's playing for the Wizards because he was shoplifting at Target 6 to 7 times, and you're making $1.2 million a year. I wouldn't even think about that in a thousand years. Like, I go to Target sometimes and I look for trading cards because I like to buy trading cards. I like to resell them. I never thought once I going in there and say, you know what, let me put these back in my pocket and walk away. Why? I could afford it. I don't have to steal it. You can afford it. You make 10 times, 20 times whatever I make. Maybe 50 times. You're making a million. I make a fraction of that, right? And so, how can you, a quarter of that or whatever is $1 million to what I make? Doesn't matter. They're super rich and people treat them like they're something else. It's just imagine if you don't treat them that way, they will live a normal life. But you have fans and you have crazy people, and I guess it's a different time than it was in the 70s where you could just go to a bar and you see a player and you'd be like, "Hey, what's going on? Can I buy you a beer?" You know? So it's one of those things, but I think the Super Bowl, it could be rigged. I do not like the Chiefs. Sam, the 49ers have a good team. I wasn't rooting for them. I like to root for the underdogs, being that they already have six rings, and the Chiefs already have rings too. I would have loved for the Lions to have gone. Sorry, Ben. Sorry, Ben. I know that's your team, but the Lions, they have a great team. I didn't understand the plays that he was doing. Like, he could have just ran the ball instead of just throwing it. I didn't understand. You have Gibbs, just give it to Gibbs. Why are you throwing? You could have kicked the field goal two times to tie the game. I didn't understand that. See, that makes me wonder, like, is it rigged? Like, did he really just let them win, or not even tie it up, or he could have kicked the field goal? Like, I don't know. It's weird. It's weird. But it's gonna be interesting to see who wins this game. I think I have the Niners winning this game. My final score, guys, 28-17. That's my final score. Okay? San Francisco 28, the Chiefs 17. And we'll see Taylor Swift crying, and we'll see Kelce getting pissed off. I like his brother, Jason Kelce, because I'm an Eagles fan, and it's just I didn't like the way that ended. Everyone was hurt, and I wish he would have like won the Super Bowl and gone into the sunset retirement. Because he came this year back, being that the Eagles were in the Super Bowl last year. I was pissed off about it. I don't even think I talked about it. I don't even think I even made an episode about the Eagles being in the Super Bowl last year. I wasn't really doing the podcast, but last year, like I am this year. This year's different. It's 2024. We're focused, right? 2024, we're gonna bring you more. That's the who do you think's gonna win the Super Bowl? I'm gonna leave a poll. It's gonna be is it gonna be the Chiefs? Is it gonna be the 49ers? I think Brock Purdy's good. I just think their defense is way better. I think that Mahomes is a good player. I'm not taking anything away from him. And I think Kelce is a phenomenal tight end. I just don't like how he complains. It just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Or even people that are just purist fans, just watching the game. If he doesn't complain the way he complains, I'm for him. I'm rooting for the Chiefs. But the way you are, if you're hearing this, stop and shut up and play the game. Okay? You're getting paid millions of bucks to play. You're gonna get hit. He doesn't like to get sacked. Oh, he'll run away and throw the ball away. He does not like to get sacked. I've seen this about him. But he's gonna get sacked against the Niners. The Niners have a phenomenal defense, just as good as the Ravens. So they're gonna do their thing. They're gonna do their thing. So we'll see. He just I just annoys me. And then when they hit him, he looks at the refs and he starts pointing like, "Shut up and play the game and stop whining. I'm sick and tired of it. A lot of other people are pointing it out. Shut up and play the game. You're a quarterback. Be a leader. Stop complaining." Moving on. Changes the subject. I'm going to talk about P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, aka Fluffy Puff, or Fluffy Daddy. Fluff Daddy. Did you guys hear about what's going on? Like, all these people are coming out. And I did an episode 2 years ago called Puffy Steals. And I told you how he rips people off. So now Cassie had a lawsuit that he abused her and he did this, this, that. And the crazy part is, I've been saying he's a bad person for so long. He rips people off. He rips people off. He doesn't pay them. He treats people like shit, and he thinks he's something special, and you're not. Yes, you're a businessman, but you'll also step on people to get there, and that's not what to do. And there's some people that do that they'll step on you and they get what they want, and it's that's not even, there is no dignity in that. There's no ethics. It's unethical that you do things like that. If you're gonna get to the top, bring people with you. So all his surrounding circle, Kirk Barrows is gone, Mark Curry's gone, his security, Big Gene Deal is gone, his personal bodyguard. Like, all these people talk bad about him. And he's been beating up on women long before this. And the Kim Porter dying, his baby mama or his ex-wife, like, that doesn't even make any sense. That she wrote a book, a tell-all book about Puffy. But let's just call him Sean Combs. I'm not going to call him Puff Daddy or whatever he calls himself. I never thought he was a good rapper to begin with. I was like, he can't rap. And people buy his record. Biggie taught him how to rap. He got Biggie killed. This should have never been in LA. It was his doing of having Biggie go to LA when they should have been in Europe promoting Life After Death. But he just, no, we need to go and promote. We need to go shoot the video. They didn't have to do none of that shit. They could have stayed in New York. They could have gone to Miami and they could have filmed, Hypnotize. Same concept. They're in the beach, they're in the boat. Like, they didn't have to go to LA. This is 1997 that happened, March. They end up getting killed, right? And it's his fault. But he's still rich. Like, so Cassie filed a lawsuit and he settled out of court for 20 million or whatever it was. But now all these other women are coming forward. So he, like, lost his revolt. He's no longer in the board of revolt because they'll take that away from him since he is the president. Breakfast Club is no longer under it. A lot of people pull their projects out because of the way he is. And I do believe in karma. If you treat people like crap all these years, it could happen 10 to 15 years. It will come back to you. That's why I don't like treating people like crap. I treat people, everyone, with respect, with dignity. And if you're treating me bad and you're disrespecting me, I'm not gonna fuck with you. Like, that person, I don't like negative. I don't like negative people. Because if you have someone negative around you, they're gonna bring you down. You can always, and I'm gonna do something to Chaz Palminteri. He said to himself, "You no matter how good you are, if no matter how good you are, if you want to bring that person up, no matter what you do, you cannot bring them up if they don't want to bring themselves up. But they'll bring you down." The other way around, they could bring you down. See, that's the crazy part. So I'm just trying to speak facts that Puff, you're getting what you're deserving right now, dude. You treat people, you're a chameleon. That's what Big Gene said. You act like you do the, like you ripped off Pete Rock, didn't give him any credits on that juicy beat that he originally did. Story goes, is from Pete Rock saying himself. He was in making some beats, Big and Puff went over there. And Puff's like, "Man, whose beat's that for?" He's, "I'm just making it." He went out to the hitman, told him to redo it. Hitmen are the producers of him that did albums for Sean for Bad Boy Records. So you see how that goes? That's like snake shit. Like saying, "You know what, Pete? I'm gonna give you do that beat for me, and we're gonna set you up with some royalties or something." Something. He didn't get paid shit for it. And that's his beat. That's his beat, man. Also, the Locks, they I listen, give me a chance to when you get a chance to listen to one of the episodes I don't want to go through. It's actually shoot, I released this back in December of 2020 when the COVID was still going on, that I talked about him being burning you. And I have it has a picture of that same night that Biggie died of Puffy and Biggie. and his business venture and his artists leaving the, so there's not one person that is successful because of him besides Mary J. Blige. Like, everyone around him is not successful. And when Black Rob died, he didn't even help. Like, that dude helped you with Whoa, like that song when triple platinum or whatever, it sold millions of dollars and he died broke. I understand that some of these artists spend their money because there's no financial literacy, but at the same time, he made you millions, and who knows what that royalty check was like, and who knows what the publishing was. The publishing, when it comes to artists, is how much you get. So I have some songs on there on Spotify. If you go under Quest One, I have Machine Works, and then I have Cut the BS. And some of these, they pay me, but they don't pay me much. But you have to be a BMI member. So I am a BMI member. I'm not getting paid much, for it. But I could just imagine I'm much l smaller scale. But Machine Works is already has like almost 6,000 plays on it, and I've probably been paid probably like $40 off of it. So I'm not in millions, plays. But at the same time, like, you couldn't tell me that Black Rob didn't get paid for that, because I'm sure that that song is still streaming. And let's see how many streams that has right now. I'm curious to see, like, whoa, let me see here, how many streams does that have? This is just on Spotify. So 40,795,643 plays. So that's a lot. That's hundreds of thousands right there, right? So you mean to tell me, or even millions, depending how they get paid. He died broke, and those streams, were they going to him or his children? Like, who knows? Like, I didn't like how that ended. Like, I didn't even know if Puffy went to the funeral, and it's sad because you have artists that die broke. There's no health insurance for them. And again, there's no financial classes for them. They don't know. Some of these guys come from the street. They just know how to spend and they don't know anything. But see, he's successful, so he knows how to invest. He knows what to do. How about you teach your artists that, and they stay with you? Because guess what? You help them. You help them. And some of these companies, I see the CEO shows up, and they don't even know your name. They don't even take the time to go and see what you do. Like, is it really about the company, or is it about them getting super rich? You see what I'm saying? There's that disconnect. Charles Schwab, who had 200 employees, he knew everyone's name. That's amazing. He knew everyone's name in his company. He will go up to you. How are you? Hey, so and so. Like, he knew your name. That's amazing to do that. That's showing that someone cares. And I think there's that disconnect with people work and people's employers and people's employees. They have perks, they'll take care of you. But there's also that disconnect. Like, did the CEO call you if you get sick and you're in a hospital, send you something? Like, not, I'm not talking about the people that work at the office. I'm talking about the CEO that's not in the office, that comes in every now and then and doesn't even know who you are. And even if you have 10,000 employees, 1,000 employees, how about you know the people that run it? And know everyone's name, what they did, some type of rundown data, whatever the case might be. But anyways, thank you for listening, and I want to thank everyone listening. I've been more on it, and peace and love, y'all. Thanks for listening to the Drive Podcast. Peace.